بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin with the grace of Allah pondering upon Surah At-Takwir. And this is one of the surahs that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned by name. When Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, you have gray hair, meaning that all of a sudden few gray hairs have appeared on your head. And usually this is due to age, and it also can be attributed to when someone is frightened of something. And that is why in some rare cases you would find someone's hair all of a sudden turns into white, because he had undergone a very frightening incident. So the Prophet ﷺ, after hearing this remark from Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, yes, Surah Hud, Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Mursalat, عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ, and this particular surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, Surah At-Takwir, they all made me have gray hair. And the scholars say that when you look into these specific surahs that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned, you will find the description of the Day of Judgment, the description of hell and heaven, which frightens the believers. Such description frightens the believers because they believe and they know this is inevitable and it's going to happen. The surah talks about what will happen on the Day of Judgment, or just before the Day of Judgment takes place. And it talks about the angelic messenger, the messenger among the angels, and his description. And it also talks about the messenger among the humans, peace be upon them both, and how this surah and the whole of the Quran are reminders to those whom Allah has opened their hearts to believe and ponder upon these beautiful verses. Scholars say that the beginning of this surah has 12 great incidents, 6 in dunya and 6 in the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal begins this surah by saying, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, and shams is the sun. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ, that when the sun, كُوِّرَتْ, كُوِّرَتْ is a passive verb that someone would make it in the takwir process. Takwir has a number of different meanings, but they all pour in the same path. And that is, the turban that men wear on their heads, usually it is used to go round the head. This is called takwir, which means that you are rolling it round itself until it becomes a turban. And this is what Allah will make the sun to be on the Day of Judgment. It will roll round itself until its light is gone and it becomes dim. Then it is thrown into hellfire. One would argue, what's the punishment for the sun to be thrown in hellfire? There is no punishment. Allah is not punishing the sun. But we know for sure that everyone or everything that used to be worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal will be thrown in hell, with the exception of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, of course, because he was worshipped unwillingly. He did not tell people to worship him, and he forbade them from doing such a thing. So the sun, the moon, the idols, they would all be thrown in hell. Those who accepted or called people to worship them, they deserve this. Like Pharaoh, for example. Like Satan. They asked the people to worship them. Like the tyrants of all times. They accepted people worshiping them. Like the priests, monks, scholars, etc., who call the people to make halal things forbidden. And forbidden things, they make it permissible for them. And the people obey them. This is worshiping them. These scholars, monks, priests, etc., they will all be thrown in hell. Allah, the Almighty, says, O you who believe, protect and prevent yourself and those who are under your control, your families, your spouses, your children. Protect them from hellfire. And Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that the fuel of this hellfire is through people and rocks. And what kind of rocks are we talking about? In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says and explains this ayah with another ayah, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمُ. You and what you worship besides Allah are the fuel of hellfire. So now we know what these rocks are. These are the idols they used to worship, the statues they used to worship. And this is why it is prohibited for Muslims to have statues, whether it's of their presidents, their kings, their loved ones, not even of the prophets and messengers. Statues are totally prohibited in Islam. That is, of living creatures, humans, animals, fish, birds, etc. So, those who are in hell, not necessarily they are there to be punished. The sun would be thrown into hell, not to be punished, but for those who used to worship it, to see it, and to regret what they had done in this life by worshipping other than Allah over and over and over again. We know that in the hellfire, the keepers of hell are 19 angels. They are in hell, controlling the people and tormenting them and punishing them. Would anyone say that the angels are being punished in hell? The answer is no, definitely. Likewise with the sun. So Allah Azza wa Jalla now is describing to us these horrific events that will happen in the future. As Muslims, we have no doubts at all. We know where we came from and we know where we're headed to. And we know that these events are going to happen. So it's as if we're having a book telling us this would happen and after that this would happen. And the conclusion is this. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. And when the stars shall fall. So, this would happen. And people would see this. Every day they see the sun coming up and setting down. Before the Day of Judgment, there will be no sun. And all the stars around them, their light would fade away and they will fall apart. When you look at the skies and the heavens above you, you find that it is so tight. No cracks, no loopholes. The stars, the planets, everything in its proportion. But on the Day of Judgment, everything will fall down. The stars, the planets, there would be no gravity anymore. The thing that used to bind them and hold them is gone. Allah Azza wa Jal had made it go away. And they shall fall. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. And when the mountains shall be made to pass away. And we know that there are different phases and stages on the Day of Judgment for the mountains. So they would be taken away from its position. after being pegs and firm on earth, they will be taken away. They will be blasted and crushed. And then they will look as if they were a mirage, a sight. After being there, it's no more. It becomes like dust. All of this would happen. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. And when the pregnant she-camels shall be neglected. And this happens, as Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, just before the day of judgment. What is the she-camel? Pregnant she-camel. What's so special about that? To the Arabs, the most valuable asset and preferred wealth to their hearts was the she-camel, and specifically the pregnant she-camel. Why? Because it reproduces, and they get their milk from it. And it lives for so long, it carries their luggage, they travel on it. It has so many things to it. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Wouldn't they look at the camels, how Allah had created it? We have a short break, so stay tuned, and inshallah we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Verse number 4, and when the pregnant she-camels shall be neglected. The most cherished wealth to the Arabs at the time were the she-camels, the pregnant ones. Because it's going to reproduce and your wealth would be increased. And you can enjoy the milk, which was the core and the essence of people's meals at the time. So one pot of milk would last you for a whole day. It was food. And besides the fact that the camel takes them from one place to the other, its endurance, its meat, etc. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal has encouraged us to ponder upon the creation of the camel. أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ. Wouldn't they look, analyze, think how Allah created this camel? Now, what would say and argue? Okay, we have no value to camels nowadays. We have cars, we have trains, we have airplanes. How long have you had these things on earth? 100 years? 300 years? At most? Less. But how long had you, as humans, had the camels, especially in Arabia and elsewhere? The answer would be, Allah knows best. So long. And it will come back again, where it would become the essence of man's wealth. And that is why Allah mentioned it in the Quran, by the way. We take things for granted. We think that we have oil, we have plastics, we have electricity, we have energy, and this is going to last forever, and this is not. It's a short period of time compared to all of humanity and compared to what's coming. We know that it is only a few decades before all of this technology is gone. We depend and rely on our laptops, on our PDAs, we depend and rely on the internet, and seize it while you can, because inevitably it's all going to go. It's all going to go back to square one, where you have camels and horses. No more machine guns or bombs or nukes. It's all back to the old sword and spear and bow and arrow. And this is how it's going to end at the end of time, when we fight the Antichrist. There will not be any modern technology or warfare. It's all going to go back to the good old ways. No drones, no fighter planes, no bombs, no guided missiles. It's all going back to the primitive way of fighting. Why? Because this era of technology, of energy, is soon to disappear. And then you will appreciate this verse once again, where Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to ponder upon the camel, because it would be the main source of transportation, of food, of milk, of everything that you can think of. So Allah says, and when the pregnant she camels shall be neglected. The Arabs could never neglect it. But when the day of judgment is due, then all what they care about is themselves and nothing else. So they would leave the camels unattended. Though it's their wealth, it's their money, they don't have time to look for it because it is too late. It is the day of judgment. And there are a number of different interpretations for the word al-ishar, but it mainly refers to the pregnant camel when they are in the 10th month of pregnancy. And this is ashara, 10. So al-ishar is the plural of this she-camel. Then Allah Azza wa Jal moves on to ayah number 5. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. And when the wild beasts shall be gathered together. The word حُشِرَتْ can be understood as resurrected, as the day of resurrection is يَوْمُ الْحَشْرِ. But in different ayahs of the Qur'an, حُشِر also refers to be gathered in the passive voice. So on that day, all the animals would be gathered, and they will mix lions with deers, wild animals with tame animals. Every single creature, every single beast would be all gathered together. And maybe, I'm not sure, but this, what happens when a flock or a herd is intimidated, when they have the fear of a predator, they always stick together. So, most likely, because of their fear of that day, they were all come together, anticipating what will happen. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. And when the seas shall become as blazing fire. And what a sight to see. It is unbelievable. All the norms that we were used to are changing. Forget about climate change. Forget about the ozone layer. All of this is kid's play. When you look at the footage of the tsunami that struck about 7 years ago or so, you will be amazed of this calm flow of water taking everything in its way. It's calm but it's raging. Look at what happened in a short period of time, few hours. And look at the devastation it left behind. Allah is telling us, when these oceans you see turn into a blazing fire, imagine what would happen to the people. Imagine what would happen to the inhabitants of the earth. And everything turns into a ball of fire. And the water would evaporate, the water would explode, and the sweet water would mix with the salt water, and everything would be chaotic to the eye to see. Allah says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. And when the souls are connected to their matches. Now, النُّفُوس, the plural of nafs, this is the soul. زُوِّجَتْ. A zawj means a husband or spouse. And zuwijat, this is the verb in the passive voice. So what does this mean? There are a number of interpretations and they're all correct. When the souls, and this is after the resurrection, the previous 6 ayahs were on the day of judgment before the resurrection, and now we're talking about what's after the resurrection. When the souls should be matched with its bodies. Because we know that there are 3 stages that the body and the soul go through. The first stage is this life we live in. The torment and the enjoyment take place at the body, at the flesh, with some connection to the soul. And in the grave, the soul bears all the torment and it bears all the enjoyment, with some connection to the body in a way we do not understand, where some of the remains of the body remain. on the day of judgment, the full blast, the full reward, the full enjoyment, as well as the full punishment and torment, take place on both the soul and the body equally. And the bodies are way different than what we have now. Allah Azza wa Jal makes them huge and perfect so that they would endure and suffer the most in hell, and so that they would enjoy and be happy to the fullest in paradise. So the souls are joined with the bodies. And also, those who did well will be accompanying those who were like them, and those who did bad will be accompanying those who were like them. And the disbelievers would be joined with their devils, and good things would be with the good guys, bad things would be with the bad guys, the bad deeds would be associated with those who did it, the good deeds would be associated and combined and joined and connected with those who did it, etc. And this is apparent in the Quran, when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that those who go to paradise go in groups. So they all come together. And those who go to hell, they will go there and thrown in hell together. And this is connecting the couples, connecting the two together. The good with the good, the bad with the bad. And Allah says in another verse to resurrect and gather the transgressors with their, the Arabic word, spouse. But this is not intended. A man would not be sent to hell with his wife, but with those who were like him. We have Pharaoh, he's in hell. We have Asiya, she's in the highest levels of paradise. We have Nuh, he's in paradise. His wife and son are in hell. So, it is not the spouses that will be thrown into hell, احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم, but rather, it will be the transgressors, the disbelievers, and those alike them. This is a preview of what will happen on the Day of Judgment. We still have a number of ayat to follow. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.